take your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. Start off with some headlines. Vegas has spoken. Look, we're a week away from the NFL draft, so it's never too early for Caesars Sportsbook to release their NFL win total predictions, playoff odds for all 32 teams. They did it today. One of the biggest surprises, the Patriots open with a win total of 8.5. That would be the team's lowest since 2003, according to Caesars Sportsbook. I'm not sure how much of a surprise that is for everybody. Some other sites have had it at 9 or 9.5. The Buffalo Bills have a win total of 9 for Caesars Sportsbook. They're the plus 100 favorite to win the AFC East at Caesars. New England's at plus 140. So Tampa Bay, the Buccaneers, Tom Brady's new team, open with the win total prediction of 9. So at this point, they haven't made the playoffs since 2007. But are favored to make the postseason. Vegas has spoken. Caesars giving us at least the odds, so we'll keep an eye on that. Speaking in the NFL, Eagles standout center Jason Kelce is in the news for retirement. Not from football, relax. From arm wrestling. In an Instagram post that put more than a few fans on edge, Kelce said that he's decided to retire, from arm wrestling. It should be noted, he was 2-0, undefeated. So at this point, he was undefeated with the arm wrestling thing, but it will be no more. And lastly, on the headlines you need to know, this is a significant one you might not hear enough about. Jalen Green is the number one prospect in the 2020 high school class, according to ESPN. He started to inform college suitors that he plans to not go to college and instead to enter the NBA G League's professional pathway program. That's according to sources who have told ESPN that. On Thursday, he planned a formal announcement on social media right now, basically 1 p.m. Eastern. We'll keep you updated on what we know about that. The G League Professional Pathway was launched in October 2018. It's a program that paid $125,000 to prospects as an alternative to college basketball. Not a lot of attention has been paid to it. Now you have a college basketball prospect that was looking at Auburn, Memphis, Oregon, Florida State, USC, Fresno State, where some of the colleges trying to get him to commit. Instead, he's committing to the G League program, one of what could suddenly turn into a catastrophic change for college basketball. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Going to have a little fun today. Michael Jordan and the documentary The Last Dance is coming out this weekend, and we all know that. We've all heard about it. But did you know, did you hear what Shaq had to say? He was talking to our guy Ariel Helwani, and he said during that conversation that his three-peat Lakers team with him and Kobe would have beaten Michael Jordan's prime Bulls in their prime. So that's an important statement. He's saying that he and Kobe and their three-peat Lakers team would have beaten Jordan and the Bulls in their prime. I want your thoughts on it. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. What team in your NBA history life do you look back and say that team could have beaten Jordan at the prime? The Showtime Lakers, the Celtics, the Warriors? Where are you on a team that you think could beat Michael Jordan and the Bulls in their prime? Call us, tell us, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. We'll get some of your take rolling in just a minute, but in the first, we'll start off with some Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless has the full court cell phone coverage you need. Get the unlimited plan, 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G. It's only $45 a month. Saves you up to half the cost of big carriers. Everything for less. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. We'll start the Straight Talk from Michael Jordan himself. You're going to hear from First Take. We're going to hear from you guys. But the world this morning heard from Michael Jordan when he went on Good Morning America talking about his last season and when he went from being Mike to Michael.
Michael, what do you remember most about that final year?
Well, it was a trying year. We all were trying to enjoy that year, knowing that it was coming to an end. I was hoping that, you know, the beginning of the season, it basically started when Jerry Krause told Phil that, you know, he can go 82-0 and he would never get the chance to come back. And, you know, knowing that I married myself to him, you know, obviously, and if he wasn't going to be a coach, then, you know, obviously I wasn't going to play. So Phil started off the year by saying this is the last dance, and we played it that way. You know, so mentally it just kind of, it tugged at you throughout the course of the year, you know, but that this had to come to an end. But it also centered our focus to making sure we end it right. So, I mean, as sad as it sounded at the beginning of the year, we tried to rejoice and enjoy the year. And finish it off the right way.
And in college, of course, the buzzer beater, 82, winning the national title. You said in the documentary that that was the moment that you went from Mike to Michael Jordan. What did you mean by that?
Well, up until that point, no one knew who I was. You know, I was a college kid other than, the university. But outside the university, I was just known as Mike Jordan, you know. And when I hit that shot, my whole name became Michael Jordan. And I think it resonated with a lot of people outside of UNC. So, I mean, and I just started piling on that name itself from the successes that I endured, throughout the rest of my career. It wasn't about Michael. It wasn't about Mike. It was more about Michael, yeah.
First take, your take on ESPN News. Interesting words from Michael Jordan on Good Morning America. And you know Stephen A. is going to have a reaction to that. He spoke today about the moment in his mind that Mike became Michael Jordan.
For me, it was when he dropped 63 at Boston Garden against Larry Bird and the Celtics, who were 40-1 at home in 1986 in a playoff game. Double overtime, had 54 in regulation, ultimately ended up with 63. And Larry Bird, I'm paraphrasing here, Greeny, I think he said he was God in basketball shorts. I mean, this is what it was. I mean, that to me was when MJ became MJ. But what I would tell you is that when he said he became Michael instead of just Mike, there's legitimacy to that, because if you recall, it wasn't just about his willingness to take that shot. And I think it was like 15 seconds left on the clock, 16 or something like that. But North Carolina had already had James Worthy. That was the All-American. That was the dude coming out of North Carolina that ultimately would get drafted number one by the Los Angeles Lakers. But it was also who they were going against. They were going against Patrick Ewing, who had to be called to the sideline by Coach John Thompson to calm him down, because he got called for like 3 or 4 goaltendings early in the game, just looking to swat everything out of the arena. He was trying to calm him down because Patrick Ewing had arrived on the scene as well. Georgetown, Hoyer paranoia, John Thompson and the crew. The fact that Dean Smith was looking for his first national title. All of those storylines was involved in that particular game. Jordan closed the deal and put his name on the map and let everybody know, here this kid comes, no question about it. But there were other storylines surrounding him. The fact that he stood out above the crowd with that game-winning shot in that kind of environment with a bevy of storylines associated with it is what did it for him.
Yeah, look, the answer is the Boston Garden game where he dropped 63 on Larry Bird. It was quite obvious, even though people at the time were, you don't want to say off of one game, and he averaged 28 points as a rookie, and then he came back and he was hurt the next year, and then he came back and dropped that at Boston Garden, and Magic was winning MVPs still and all that stuff. Michael Jordan was already the best player who ever lived. It was obvious there's no one else like him, but there just wasn't the track record yet for everyone to admit it. The next year, he averaged 37 points. In game one against the Knicks, Stephen A. is a good kind of starting point, because that season, for a guard back then, to average 37 efficient points a night, counting by two, super high usage rate, not shooting threes, not even a good jump shooter yet, really, just taking it hard to the hole and averaging 37, there was nothing like it. If you look back now, you still can't believe it. And during the course of that season, people understood that Michael Jordan was different. I remember arguing with my father back then, because centers had so dominated the NBA really forever. And we were arguing about whether the Knicks would trade Ewing for Jordan. And I was trying to explain to him, you don't understand. Michael, it's like you would trade anybody for Michael Jordan. And then I was told he would never win a championship. So before he won the championship, the moment that really stands out to me was the dunk contest against Dominique, where I know people say, oh, Dominique should have won, whatever. But Jordan, paying homage to Dr. J and dunking from the foul line the way he did, and even really improving on that dunk, was sort of the iconic signature moment. So if I had to pick one that represented what we were all watching over those course of the years before he won a championship, that would probably be it.
First take, your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. all this Jordan conversation leads us to what we've mentioned that we're asking you guys about. What team in the past do you think could have beaten Michael Jordan and the Bulls at their prime and at their best? So remember, we're taking best on best here. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Gavin in Iowa. Always love it when Gavin calls. All right, Gavin, what's your take on it? Who do you think could have beaten the Bulls at their prime?
I think LeBron James, 2012-2013, they had in their prime Chris Bosh, in their prime Dwayne Wade, in their prime LeBron, and still young guys to come up and help them.
Gavin, I like the take on it, and thanks for the call. You know, the Heat don't get a lot of love, and they haven't gotten a lot of love for it right here. But that was a team that took a little while to gel together, and I'm still not sure that even with the stars that they had, I mean, Michael was such an imposing part of the Bulls dynasty, obviously, but I think we're underselling how great Scottie Pippen was. And then which one of these teams do we look at as Bulls in their prime? And is that Rodman, I'm presuming? So, you know, the matchups don't feel good to me on that one. Sager in Virginia Beach. Sager, what do you got?
Fitz, come on, man. I told you the first time it was Sager, but it's all good, man. I forgive you. Listen, I think we delve too much in conjecture and theoreticals. Let's talk about the team that actually did beat Jordan in his prime, the Orlando Magic. I mean, let's face it, Penny, Shaq, Nick Anderson. Granted, they got swept in the finals. Granted, they got swept by Jordan the following year. Granted, Jordan only came back in March, but he was still healthy. He was still in his prime. The Magic beat him. Straightforward. I mean, come on. They don't get enough credit. What are your thoughts?
Okay, I'm not going to disagree that they don't get enough credit, but do you really consider that Kukoc Bulls team to be the prime? I mean, I don't. I mean, that Kukoc Bulls team was not nearly as good as the Bulls were with Rodman. So while you're right, they beat that team. Do you think they do the same thing to the Rodman Bulls? I mean, that's the great part of the conversation. We lost him there. Don't forget, you can tune into The Last Dance. It's a behind-the-scenes look at the 90s Chicago Bulls dynasty. It's a 10-part series. Starts Sunday, April 19th, 9 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. Listen to the wrap-up podcast hosted by Jalen and Jacoby immediately following the broadcast presented by State Farm. Available wherever you enjoy your podcast. Now, who could beat the Bulls in the prime is all a conversation because of this moment where Shaq was talking to my guy Ariel Helwani on Instagram Live.
The three-peat Lakers in your primes would have beaten those Bulls in their primes.
Of course, yes, easily, yeah.
Why?
Because I would have killed Luke Longley, Bill Winning, Cartwright, yeah. So the factor is me and my free throw shooting. So, okay, another question is, our Lakers in their prime and Chicago in their prime, who is Phil Jackson with? Is he with us or is he with them?
I think he's with them because he was with them first.
So he would have tried the Hacker Shack thing, which so the I still would average my 28-29, but the key would have been the free throws. So, you know, with me, it's always 50-50, so hopefully I would have been on. If I'd been on, we win. If I'd been off, we lose. But, you know, I love having these conversations. They would have did this, we would have did that. But I can strictly say I think we would have beat them.
I mean, what else is he going to say? And you guys know I'm a Lakers fan, so I would love to feel that out and have that be the truth. I just think we're making so much of it about really, you know, Shaq in that moment. Yes, would have had his way with any of the centers. Let's just acknowledge that. But from the other side of it, are we really saying that at this point we think Kobe can minimize that version of Kobe can minimize MJ enough? And even if he does, who's taking care of Scottie Pippen? I mean, we're just forgetting about Scottie Pippen and all of this. And that's a dangerous thing to do. Now, you know that Stephen A. and Max are going to react to it. Stephen A. and Max talked a little bit about Shaq's comments when they said this.
They may have taken them at their best to a seventh game, which no one ever did in the finals. I know what he's thinking. Like, Kobe neutralizes Jordan more or less. They're more or less the same guy. Jordan a little more, but can't get closer to Jordan than Kobe. And then who you got matching up with Shaq, really? But, and by the way, Kobe and Shaq, let's take their best season, Stephen A., when they went 15-1 through the playoffs versus the 72 Bulls. Let's say Phil Jackson is the coach on both teams. Kobe and Shaq had a really good supporting cast, but my God, Dennis Rodman, Scottie Pippen, even guys like Ron Harper playing defense, let alone guys like Tony Kukoc, the Bulls were loaded. They had Michael Jordan. They win.
Kobe, the Lakers in their prime was not even Kobe in his prime. He hadn't arrived yet on that level, as great as he was. He hadn't arrived yet on that level. Not only would the Bulls have smoked Shaquille O'Neal and the Lakers, they might have swept them. maybe out of respect to Kobe and Shaq, I might have given them one game, but that's about it. Shaq said it best, the free throw shooting, he would have been neutralized. How is this relevant? Because Shaq was a dominant presence in the finals against Houston. It didn't stop them from getting waxed at that particular moment in time. The year after that, Jordan and them, at having lost to Shaquille O'Neal, and then when Jordan came out of retirement and played those 17 games and then lost to Orlando in the playoffs, if you recall, Jordan and the Bulls played Orlando the very next game. Game one of that series, they lost by like 38. They got annihilated by the Bulls. They got swept. Shaq was doing his thing then, but the people around them couldn't measure up to what the Chicago Bulls were throwing at them. I'm saying the same would have been applicable here. The Lakers would have been lucky to win one game. The Bulls would have taken them out easily.
First, take your take. I mean, that's a strong statement by Stephen A. Taking him out easily, that's hard for me to imagine. I also think we might be looking at the wrong Lakers team in this conversation. Several people, Dana Scott on Twitter tweets, the Showtime Lakers. There's no way that Luke Longley, Bill Wellington, Bill Cartwright, or anyone in the middle for the Bulls could have defended Kareem Skyhook, even in the back nine of his career. Plus, those Lakers teams with Magic at the point were as athletic as the Bulls. I mean, I do think we're sleeping on sort of 80s basketball. Now, there's a real question about what style, and a few people have tweeted this, like which version of the NBA are we playing in? Are we playing in the officiated NBA of now or the officiated NBA of then? And the real question on this that was even asked to Shaq, which side is Phil Jackson coaching on? So Tristan in Pittsburgh, we'll take your take on this. Who do you think could have beaten the Bulls in their prime?
Well, I honestly think that Los Angeles Lakers team with Kobe and Shaq could have beaten that Bulls team, like Shaquille O'Neal said. I think the key here really is what Max said, where both teams have Phil Jackson here. Because Phil Jackson is one of those few coaches, I think, in NBA history where he makes a huge difference in what a team outputs at the end of the season just because of his genius, especially him knowing what the Bulls would have done considering he was there at the Lakers after. Also, one little tiny nugget in those on those Lakers team was Robert Horry, who we all know is the championship bringer to all these Lakers teams and the San Antonio Spurs. So I think he puts them over the edge too, Robert Horry on those Lakers teams.
That's actually a really good call. Can't sleep on Big Shot Pop. We all know that. Can't sleep on him. Good call on some of these ancillary pieces that would have to come up large in order to make this series go one way or the other. Scott, in L.A., who do you have that you think could have beaten the Bulls in their prime?
Hey, bud, it's not even close. There's two teams. One is the 86 Celtics. They had five Hall of Famers at their prime on that team. The starting lineup is probably the best starting lineup ever. And they had Bill Walton coming off the bench. They were 40-1 at home. 15-3 in the playoffs. They stormed through everybody, and they would easily beat the Bulls because the Bulls, regardless of what lineup they put out there with Kukoc or anybody else in the center position, they could not deal with Kevin McHale. Very unstoppable player, and in that series, he would dominate. Secondly, the 87 Lakers, nobody talks about them. They had seven players in double digits. They had Kareem, Worthy, Magic at their prime, Byron Scott at their prime, several pieces off the bench. The reason that they beat the 86 Celtics version in 87 is because they went out and got Michael Thompson, Rambis, AC Green to compete and offset what Kevin McHale would do to them. Those two teams, because of the inside presence, would beat the Bulls. Additionally, if you look at the Bulls, and nobody really dissects them from that team, They only had three people that were in double digits. So let's not put this into like mythology that they were this unbelievably great team. They had Jordan, Pippen, Kukoc barely was in double digits. Rodman averaged 5 points a game, but they were a great team, but they didn't have a counterbalance as a superpower like the Lakers and Celtics did. And that's why the Lakers and Celtics, those two teams would have beat the Bulls.
I love the analysis on it. Thanks for your take on it. Look, especially with that Celtics team. I think we forget Larry Bird, Kevin McHale, Robert Parrish, Dennis Johnson, and Danny Ainge, your starting five there. And you got Bill Walton, like you said, coming off in a year where what it was the third straight MVP, I think, for Larry Bird at that point, and Walton won the sixth man of the year. Great 30 for 30 documentary series on that rivalry during that period. And I'm giving all this love to the Lakers. You're right. It's completely fair to also apply that same love to the Celtics. And it is a deeper team. It's a little like the conversation we've been having so often about the current NBA structure and what it looks like. Do you look for a team that essentially is deeper, or do you look at a team that is more dominant with a few pieces? The Bulls, remember, during their run seemed to feel like it was the triangle, not just in an offense, but in the sense that they seemed to have three guys they always really relied on. It was MJ and Scotty and then whoever else that third person was. Horace Grant sometimes, Kukoc after Rodman, and then Rodman sometimes. So, I don't know that I look at that, and I agree with you. There's a real conversation there to be had. So ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive's Home Quote Explorer is changing the way you buy home insurance. Now, you can go online, get a custom quote, save both time and money, learn more at progressive.com. I'm going to learn more about your take on who you think could have beaten Michael Jordan and the Bulls in their prime. That's coming up. Plus, the Vikings and Odell Beckham Jr., if that were to happen, would it make Minnesota the real threat that they could be to win the Super Bowl? That's all coming up next. First, take your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. First, take your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and of course, ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz, asking you guys to chime in. Shaq says that his Lakers three-peat team with Kobe could have beaten the Bulls in their prime easily, as long as he was hitting his free throws. He did add that caveat. He's self-aware enough to at least add that, but it had us thinking. What teams do you think out there could have beaten MJ and the Bulls in their prime? 888-729-3776. My Twitter feed is blown up at this point because a couple of people suggested the Warriors. So all of a sudden you say KD and the Warriors could have done it, and now you've got the 80s, 90s NBA fans just all up in their feelings about this. So keep them coming. At Jason Fitch, you can tweet me. Slim in D.C., what's your take? Who do you think could have challenged MJ and the Bulls in their prime?
Fitz, what's up? What's up? Hey, let me go ahead and keep it real with you. That 99-2000 Lakers team with Devin George, Rick Fox, Shaw, and Kobe. See, what a lot of people give Shaq all the credit because he got the finals MVP, but a lot of people forget Kobe was running through that West getting about 29, 30 points a game. Now, in this matchup, I honestly believe Mike wouldn't be able to stop Kobe, okay? See, in my interpretation, I think Kobe is a better all-around player. So when we do all the matchups, I got Devin George. I don't think he can stop Pippen, but I think he'll be good enough to contain him. See, we also got to include, if we double team Mike, then it's a guaranteed win for the Lakers. I just don't think Mike would stop Kobe. Kobe, and we talk about it wasn't his coming out, he wasn't Kobe. Kobe was beginning to be Kobe, and I think if you would have put him against Mike at that time, he would have just outshined him, because we just don't give enough credit to that 99-2000 team. And Mike is the greatest player I've ever seen, but I just don't think he's better than Kobe. And I think that would have been a great one-on-one matchup.
And I agree, Slim. I love the take on a lot of what you're saying. I agree that the one-on-one matchup between Kobe and MJ would be sort of what we're salivating. Generations of NBA fans would be just absolutely hyped out of their minds to get that, right? I still just think you're underselling Scottie Pippen in this. And he's the X factor to me. Maybe I'm too much of a fan kid thinking back to my childhood of watching Scottie play, but I don't see where they're going to get the production. Even if they can slow him down a little bit, where else are they getting production from to sort of match that? Now, yes, obviously, Shaq's going to be a big part of where they get their production from as an offense. But it's not just about slowing down Scotty. You really have to shut down Scotty, and I don't know that that's possible. Jake in Florida, what do you got? What's your take on someone that you think could have challenged the Bulls in their prime?
Hey, Fitz. I think the 2004 Detroit Piston team could have given them a little bit of a challenge, seeing that they did beat the Lakers in their prime and probably should have swept the Lakers if it wasn't for couple sketchy calls there in game two. And also, the bad boy Pistons kind of handed off the torch there to the Bulls when Jordan got them going in their prime. But I think the matchups could pair up pretty well. I mean, with Tayshaun Prince and Ben Wallace playing some defense, you got Rip Hamilton's athletic ability and how fast he is. Being able to guard him could be an issue. Plus, you got Chauncey Billups' perimeter game. I think it would be a fair matchup to see possibly seven games. think they could really take it to the Bulls, I think.
Well, I like the take. I'm surprised you went with that era of Pistons. We've had a few people tweet in, you know, sort of the bad boy Pistons we're used to. I'm not sure, as good as that era of Pistons basketball was defensively, I'm not sure that we've got the right matchups there to really slow down Michael. I mean, Michael's still going to feast, I think, in that situation. Keep your take coming on who you think could have challenged Michael Jordan and the Bulls in their prime. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Don't forget, save water this spring. Get a more beautiful and healthy lawn with Pennington Smart Seed. It's a premium drought-resistant grass seed. Saves up to 30% more water than ordinary seed. So, we'll get back to your take in just a second, but there was a big football rumor yesterday as the rumor mill started to sort of churn on the possibility that Odell Beckham Jr. could be headed from the Browns to the Minnesota Vikings. Remember, the Minnesota Vikings got rid of Stephon Diggs earlier this offseason, traded him to Buffalo, so now they would be replacing one, you know, receiver that has a reputation for being loud with another receiver that at times has had that same reputation. The question is, would that trade suddenly make the Vikings Super Bowl contenders? Stephen A. chimed in on that.
They may have taken them at their best to a seventh game, which no one ever did in the finals. I know what he's thinking, like Kobe neutralizes Jordan more or less. They're more or less the same guy, Jordan a little more, but can't get closer to Jordan than Kobe. And then who you got matching up with Shaq, really? But, and by the way, Kobe and Shaq, let's take their best season, Stephen A., when they went 15-1 through the playoffs versus the 72 Bulls. Let's say Phil Jackson is the coach on both teams. Kobe and Shaq had a really good supporting cast. But my God, Dennis Rodman, Scottie Pippen, even guys like Ron Harper playing defense, let alone guys like Tony Kukoc, the Bulls were loaded. They had Michael Jordan.
Okay, so that's obviously the wrong cue there. We're going to get it right. Yeah, it's live radio. We're in a bunch of different places. This is the joy of what we all go through as we try and figure this stuff out. Now, we'll get to what I queued up a second ago, which is obviously the trade rumors about the Vikings, Odell Beckham Jr. headed possibly to Minnesota. Does it make them a Super Bowl contender? This is Stephen A. chiming in on that.
When you're talking about the Super Bowl picture, who are you looking at that you're really legitimately giving a bona fide chance to? The Vikings are not one of those teams. And oh, by the way, Max, if they're going to be one of those teams, it ain't going to be because of Odell Beckham Jr. It's going to be because of Dalvin Cook. The Minnesota Vikings are as relevant as Dalvin Cook allows them to be. When he's healthy and on the field, that's the difference. Not without him. When I look at Odell Beckham Jr., to be specific, here's my thing. I really feel bad for having this discussion, Max, because I believe in the brother just like you do. I don't believe it was his fault in New York. I don't believe it was his fault in Cleveland. It ain't his damn fault. To me, this is an indictment against Baker Mayfield, whether he admits it or not. And it's also a lack of belief in the Browns organization. Now, you would think that with Kevin Stefanski coming there, that, excuse me, this would be one of those situations where you could look at it and say, okay, let me give the new coach a chance or whatever. If you're not willing to do so, it can only be one of two reasons. You don't believe in the organization or you don't believe in the quarterback. And I would go to quarterback because even when you got questions about the organization, they still ain't the dudes that you got to go out on the field and play with. And when you look at the talent on the Cleveland Browns, Jarvis Landry, I mean, Njoku's there. Obviously, they picked up another tight end. You got Chubb in the backfield. Kareem Hunt, still, if he's still there. You got all of that going on, okay? But Baker Mayfield's your quarterback. If you believe in Baker Mayfield, I don't think it's a situation where you want to leave Cleveland unless Odell Beckham Jr. is so shallow that being in a market like Cleveland ain't going to do anything for him. And I think in this day and age with the advent of social media and beyond, I don't think his marketability is hurt because he's in the city of Cleveland. I think his marketability is hurt because he's a Brown. We certainly can't say his marketability is hurt by being in Cleveland because Baker Mayfield had more commercials for Progressive than he ended up having wins. So when you look at it from that perspective, you can definitely get your shine being a member of the Cleveland Browns if you won, okay? But that wasn't the case. I think this is an indictment against Baker Mayfield if there's any truth to Odell Beckham Jr. wanting out of Cleveland. And I'm not going to point the finger at him in any regard. I know he can ball. I know he's an elite receiver. I know if I'm in a situation with a big-time quarterback, he could do some things. But when I look at Kirk Cousins and the Minnesota Vikings, The only reason I'd give them remotely a chance is Dalvin Cook. And I think come playoff time, Dalvin Cook, unfortunately, has shown that he can be neutralized because they will dare Kirk Cousins to beat them instead of Dalvin Cook. And Kirk Cousins hasn't shown us the ability to do that.
Let's first take your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. If the question is, would Odell Beckham Jr. make the Vikings a Super Bowl contender? The answer is clearly no, because Stephon Diggs was not minced to meet. I mean, he's an incredibly good wide receiver, and they weren't a Super Bowl contender with him. So, you know, as much as there's a want for me because the Vikings are so stinking talented to put them in that Super Bowl contender list, it just doesn't come from a wide receiver acquisition when they already had a good wide receiver on that roster. It's First Take, your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. We're going to keep taking your take on who you think could have beaten Michael Jordan's Bulls in their prime. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Shaq says his Lakers three-peat team with Kobe could have done it. Who do you think could have gotten it done? Who do you think could have actually gotten in there and beaten the Bulls and MJ in their prime? Encore in Florida. Who you got, Encore?
Yeah, so I grew up in Illinois, so I am a Bulls fan. But for the conversation, I can deem to see who can beat them. My go-to starting five would be Jordan, Pippen, Rodman, Harper, Kukoc as a center. I'd probably put him at center and take out Longley, and then whoever else, maybe Steve Kerr. But I'd be afraid of the Phil Jackson Lakers with Kobe and Shaq, specifically because of Shaq, because of the inside paint dominance. I always thought the Bulls had, that was a struggle, was the inside game, even though we had Rodman, even though we had a triangle offense. But even with Longley or Cartwright back in the day, Cartwright may have been more aggressive, but I'd probably use Tony Kukoc with the new style and the speed. But my always concern would have been Shaq coming in the game, because he was as aggressive as any center as there out there.
Well, and that's, love the take on it, love the breakdown, and you're right. It's absolutely the most difficult sort of matchup problem that everybody would have is Shaq. And I think that's why it's also important to note sort of what era we're playing in, because the physicality of this is going to matter to the conversation. Tony in Tampa, what do you got? What's your take on who could have beaten the Bulls in their prime?
I don't believe anybody. Now, I might get some flack for this. I don't believe anybody. Jordan had the will that I have not seen, and I'm 53. And so in my time frame, he has the will to win that I haven't seen. And now don't get me wrong, talent wise, you got Kobe. Think about what Jordan did. He didn't have a true big man. He had Cartwright. He had all these different players winning these championships, and his will to win was just unmatched, in my opinion. That's why I don't think anybody would have beaten him.
Well, you know what? I'm not going to disagree with that being a huge factor. Now, we understand Mamba mentality for Kobe. Obviously, it's been a big conversation over the last few months, but that Mamba mentality during those three-peats wasn't the same, right? So, you know, how does that mentality and just the will to win factor into a close matchup? We'll keep taking your take on it. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Who could have beaten the Bulls in their prime? You guys can keep chiming in. Plus, who's the best tight end in the NFL? Well, not many people are more equipped to answer that question than a Super Bowl champion named Travis Kelce. He joined First Take today to talk about that, plus his prediction on next year's Super Bowl matchup. You'll hear all of it next. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. If you missed the first hour of today's show, don't worry about it. You can still get it. It's on demand in the First Take, Your Take podcast, brought to you by Capital One. Why settle for average with Capital One? You can open a savings account with a rate 5 times the national average. Welcome to Banking Reimagined. What's in your wallet? Capital One, N.A., member FDIC. We'll get more of your take coming. We're letting you guys chime in. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. In the spirit of Shaq telling our own Ariel Helwani that his three-peat Lakers team with Kobe could have beaten Jordan in their prime and the Bulls in their prime, we're asking you what team you think could have beaten MJ and the Bulls in their prime. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. Great way to get in on the conversation. Now, yesterday I got to be a little less of a professional and talk a bunch about my beloved Raiders. It was fun, but today I have to put my professional hat on again. And I have to talk about the Kansas City Chiefs. It's apparently something I'm supposed to do. Travis Kelce joined First Take today. He's good. But he was asked about the best tight ends in the NFL, and he was asked for his predictions on the upcoming Super Bowl match. Really interesting conversation with, yes, I have to say, it becomes my producer, James, is a lifelong diehard Chiefs fan. So I'll say it once for you, James. This is great stuff from Super Bowl champion Travis Kelce.
There's been a lot of discussions about who the best tight end in football is, whether it's you or George Kittle with the San Francisco 49ers. When you hear chatter about that, particularly as people dissect the tight end position, how do you view yourself and why?
Man, it's a difficult question. And to be honest, it's changed a lot throughout my career. The beginning years, I mean, I was trying my hardest just to get recognized, just to be in the talks of one of the top tight ends in the league. And now that I am, I mean, I'm just appreciated. I'm honored. And, I mean, a guy like George Kittle, I mean, before it was Gronk, and if you're comparing me to Gronk, you're comparing me to one of the greatest to ever play the game. And I think it's the same thing with George Kittle. I mean, what he's been able to do his first 2-3 years in the league, and just take it by storm and show us that, the tight end position is evolving. I'm just honored to be in the conversation. At this point in my career, all I'm trying to do is go out there and win Super Bowls and win football games.
Travis, I know it's any given Sunday. You got to prepare for the next team. Any team could beat any team on a given Sunday in the NFL. But I want the name of the AFC team that you think poses the biggest risk to your guys repeating as AFC champs. And why?
I mean, obviously, we haven't seen the draft. We haven't seen a full offseason of free agency. So you don't know who's going to end up where. But I honestly think it'll be a rematch of Super Bowl 54. I think the San Francisco 49ers are one heck of a team. They're very, very well coached, very disciplined in who they are. And obviously, they're very talented in who they are.
Let's first take your take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. Also, continuity has to matter. Like, I will continue to say in this offseason where we don't know what anything's going to look like, in that particular offseason where players and coaches aren't going to be able to get together in the same way, I think continuity matters more than ever to the NFL. Both of these teams have a lot of continuity. And that's going to give them a lot of opportunity to come back and repeat. So especially for Kansas City, who I just still think is the cream of the crop of the AFC particularly. Donnie, in Indiana, we're taking your take. What team do you think could have beaten MJ's Bulls in their prime? What's your take on it, Donnie?
I believe other than the 2000 Lakers, I honestly think the 83 Sixers with Moses Malone, Dr. J, Andre Tony, Maurice Cheeks. Remember, they swept the Lakers that year in the finals. I think they would have beaten the Chicago Bulls in their prime.
That's actually a really good call. And, you know, I think we forget how stacked some of these older teams were. And we do forget that they swept Pat Riley and the Lakers at that point for the NBA championship. And just the thought of Dr. J and Moses Malone on the same team. I mean, it's sort of alarming when you think about that. So a good call on that one. Didn't even think of that. So I love going back in the history books here. Bill in Missouri, what do you got? Who do you think could have challenged them?
Hey, I'm going to throw the Knicks fans some love with DeBuscher, Bradley, Willis Reed, Clyde the Glide, and Earl the Pearl. Back when Willis Reed came out of the locker room against the Lakers in the championship series, that was one moment to remember.
Ooh, I love that walk down here. Look, Knicks fans got to be just looking back at that and singing Those Were the Days. We're going to keep taking your calls on it. Remember, this is all because of Shaq. Shaq telling everybody that his Lakers 3-peat team could have beaten MJ. So I want more of your take on it. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. What team do you think could have beaten MJ and the Bulls in their prime? Remember, it's MJ and the Bulls in their prime. So chime in, 888-SAY-ESPN. Plus, is the Trubisky era over in Chicago? Certainly seems that way with the Bears' acquisition of Nick Foles this offseason. QB continued next on First Take Your Take.